Hello, and thank you for joining us for today's webinar. I'm Nancy Stone with RealCom, and we're pleased to be presenting the third and final part of our in-building wireless series, which will focus on 5G and its impact on the built environment. Our panel today features industry experts who will review 5G technology, timing, financial issues, and the overall impact to buildings. We'll also hear several use cases for commercial building owners and operators. Before we get started, let's review a few housekeeping items. First, to submit questions, please use the Q&A box located on the control panel, which is somewhere on your screen. If the panel isn't visible, look for the red arrow that opens and closes it. For the best webinar experience, we suggest you close any other internet applications you might have running. If you have technical issues during the session, please contact me at nstone@realcom.com. And lastly, this webinar is being recorded, and a link to the recording will be sent to all registrants. We'd like to thank today's gold sponsors, CommScope, Corning, Crown Castle, and Ericsson. You'll be hearing from each of these companies during the session. We'd also like to thank our silver sponsor, Microlab. Let's take a minute to learn a bit about them before we begin.
Microlab is a leader in low PIM, RF, and microwave products that provide signal conditioning, combining, and distribution solutions. Overcome 5G network deployment challenges with various ultra-wideband passive components from Microlab. 5G-ready active solutions, such as the Microlab Digital GPS Repeater System, provides precision network timing and synchronization. The Microlab Module Carrier Combiner platform ensures field-upgradable, 5G-capable, neutral host network deployments. And Public Safety DAS can deliver reliable communications to first responders with the Microlab Smart Passive System real-time monitoring solution. Microlab, a wireless telecom group brand, provides the performance and customization needed to enable next-generation wireless infrastructure. Visit www.microlabtech.com.
Today's webinar will be moderated by Rick Farnell, Senior Managing Partner at 5G LLC and Chairman of the Advisory Board at Building Cybersecurity. Prior to his current commitments, he was the EVP of Building Technology Services at CBRE, where he evaluated and established technology solutions services partners, rooftop management, and in-building communication services. Welcome, Rick, and thank you for moderating today's panel.
Thank you very much. As you said, my name is Rick Varnell, and I'll be moderating this session today, focused on the importance of 5G to commercial real estate. For those of you who aren't familiar with 5G LLC, we manage a market commercial real estate portfolios to 5G wireless carriers. We're excited to bring several premier experts to discuss 5G and how it will impact commercial real estate and its tenants. I'm going to take a couple of minutes and walk through some high-level data points. Then we'll introduce our guests, have a couple of videos, allow them to talk for a few minutes. And at the end, we're going to do a 20-minute question and answer session. So please do instant message any questions you might have, and we will hit as many as we can as we go. So first of all, why is 5G so important? 5G or fifth generation is going to be so impactful to the world's economy. We believe it's an essential part of technological infrastructure for much more than your handset connections. 5G will literally drive $500 billion in economic impact by 2030, with applications from IoT to utilities management to autonomous vehicles and drone logistics. In the US, 5G will create $1.5 trillion in GDP, create 16 million new jobs, and drive up to $2.7 trillion in gross output growth. What is 5G? Well, translated from technology to commercial real estate, 5G is the key enabler to much of the technology solutions you're hearing about. We are programmed to think about it as the next generation to support your phone, but it's really way beyond that. Everything from healthcare to automotive, retail or manufacturing, multifamily or office, commercial real estate, Hundreds of use cases are being driven by the outcomes that we are creating today. To commercial real estate owners and tenants, 5G can generate revenue streams, increase the value of your portfolio, or provide the gateway to significantly lower real estate operations costs. And in particular, create world-class amenity, enable significant risk management and safety to both physical and cybersecurity threats. Decisions are being made across industries based upon 5G deployment. Significant impacts from high-speed trading to remote healthcare, from inventory management to building automation to enable, because the output of 5G is 100 times faster than 4G. Commercial real estate is changing with 5G. Tenants are looking for new ways that 5G can change their operations. Tenants with great coverage are more likely to renew their leases. And even in leasing, tenants are making sure they have a 5-bar experience as a pre-qualifying condition of property. 5G is the backbone of technology evolution. We're going to spend the next segment gaining perspectives from different parts of the 5G ecosystem. I would like to now introduce Mr. Mark Zikra from CA Ventures, a little bit on Mark. Mark is the Senior Vice President of Technology of Innovation at CA Ventures. As Vice President of Innovation, Mark is at the forefront of the most exciting time for technological advancement in real estate. He oversees CA Ventures' approach to developing cutting-edge solutions that can have transformative impacts on property operations, resident experience, and asset investment. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for that. I appreciate it very much. So I'm going to cover a little bit about why connectivity matters from a commercial real estate, residential real estate perspective. A lot of time we talk a lot of the technological implications, a lot of the very technical details, but getting down a little bit into why building an innovation strategy and a forward-looking vision in regards to connectivity and 5G really matters. So the importance generally of connectivity is it has become one of the most important drivers for the success of an asset. Whether it's residential or commercial, having stable connectivity means a success of the property. Adding in the ability to scale technology and being prepared for the future of the building and what comes out in the future is super, super important. And having a good connectivity layer in your building is the number one priority when it comes to future proof. Not only that, but we're getting into operational efficiencies by having connected devices and a strong layer of connectivity. We can reduce operational waste and make sure that our staff members and our employees are using their time most effectively. This also leads into resident engagement in multifamily and student housing. By ensuring the connectivity layer being the most incredible it can be in your building, the residents are going to have a good experience. We've all had that experience of walking down the hallway and into the elevator and losing connectivity, and then you have to stand there with the people who are next to you and try and make conversation in an elevator instead of staring at your phone. By having great connectivity, we can help to keep people online at all times, which is what they really want. Additionally, we're driving building value. We're increasing NOI by bringing in different technology pieces that can help to allow us to increase services in the buildings and offerings in the buildings and decrease some of our operating expenses. When we talk about 5G and we talk about connectivity, we really start to think about all the different parts and pieces in a building that right now are reliant on a network connectivity at some level to operate. If we're thinking about building automated systems and energy monitoring and artificial intelligence, all of these things that need to be connected to a network, we'll now be able to connect seamlessly across the entire building over 5G. We can use those tools to help optimize our HVAC systems. When the weather's hot outside, we can prescribe the information back into the HVAC system to help decrease our operating costs and energy waste. It goes back into the entire conversation around sustainability as well. So adding these features in is super, super important. Additionally, we're going to get into the entire explosion of connected devices over the years. When we talk about IoT, we talk about smart things and connected devices, you start to see this exponential upwards into what that actually means translates right here in this graph. you're going to see kind of back, I know it's a little pixelated, but if you go back at the very beginning, we didn't have very many connected things. And as you get closer and closer to the future, we start to just shoot straight up. Well, bringing in a good, strong connectivity layer into your buildings is going to allow all of these devices, from access control to CCTV to internet and all of the end user devices and all of your building monitoring and occupancy monitoring tools, are all going to be connected. We need to have that connectivity layer. So how do you actually do it? A lot of the great panelists are going to talk about what all of this is, how it all means. But when you're actually trying to implement something, some of the mistakes that have been made in the past are like just super heavily focused on the fact that there is not a real technology team and driver of innovation in a lot of these organizations. And so building that team, getting the right people involved is really step one. And getting everybody together to have a real strategic vision is step two, and developing a standard decision-making process. So when you put all of these things together, you can start to build an innovation team that can take a look at all of the new technologies that are coming out, pair that back with the connectivity layer that we've spoken about on the first slide, and we can start to think about the future and all of the different parts and pieces that we want to put together in our buildings. Whether that's for operational efficiencies, whether that's for increasing NOI or driving value to the building and the resident experience. And then this is just a quick picture of the technology stack of all of the different parts and pieces that will eventually be connected. I can turn that back over to you, Rick.
Thanks, Mark. Actually, I have a couple of questions for you, if I could. As an owner, Mark, how can we monetize our 5G deployment?
So it's a great question. There's a lot of really excellent companies out there that you can partner with that can help to monetize that by using rooftop space to lease out from your building to the carriers who are looking to build their infrastructure. There's a lot of ways that that's done in the past. We have, you know, when your carriers are bringing in their cellular antennas, we're leasing spaces on our rooftop for that. 5G opens up a totally different world for cellular rooftop leasing. As we get 5G away from the needs to be, you know, 100, 200 feet in the air, our available leasing space is now 10 feet off the ground. And so if you don't have a tall building, you know, it opens up a lot more options for that.
Do you actually think 5G will replace Wi-Fi in a building?
This is a really good question that has been asked a lot to me. The answer is no. I don't think that Wi-Fi will be replaced by 5G. I do think that they will continue to work in parallel. I think as Wi-Fi connectivity gets stronger and we get new advancements into Wi-Fi 6, we're going to get to Wi-Fi 7 and 8, 9, 10, eventually to 100, that'll parse along with 5G, 6G as we get through these additional generations of connectivity. And I think that Wi-Fi will exist hand in hand, but the ease of access to connectivity in 5G with lower battery consumption from devices and the ability to have lower latency and all of those connected things will benefit from 5G over Wi-Fi, and Wi-Fi will have its benefits as well.
Thank you, Mark. That was extremely helpful. So thanks, Rick. Before I introduce our next panelist, we're going to do a short video. If we could run that for CommScope, please.
At CommScope, it is our mission to enable communications through a constant focus on innovation, agility, and integrity. We transform networks with efficient solutions that optimize network performance and speed deployment. Our global team of greater than 20,000 employees, innovators, and technologists have empowered customers in all regions of the world to anticipate what's next and push the boundaries of what's possible.
Angelo Afonso. Angelo is the business development leader, global scale for CommScope. And Angelo is a 20-year veteran in telecom space who has traveled the globe deploying fiber networks as well as building wireless systems. He's currently focused on business development efforts geared toward enabling our partners with CommScope's full suite of solutions. Welcome, Angelo.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate that. Good afternoon, everybody. So I'm excited to be here today, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit more also about 5G and some of the the highlights around it. Why is this such an exciting topic that we want to focus on? So what we know today is connectivity is everywhere. We all want to be connected, whether it be with a tablet, a smartphone, a computer. Connectivity is everywhere, and we want it to be mobile. We want to connect in different ways. Because of the pandemic, this was fueled. This is just actually just put in like super fast motion, and now we're living this connected lifestyle. So the way we connect, the way people connect isn't very important if we don't have a good user experience. Now, we've been connecting for decades, right? So we have to understand what is 5G, but before we do that, we have to understand what is the G. So if you go back to the early 80s, and I'll age myself, I had a pager, right? We were connecting to a network, and there was this demand, this was this need for connectivity. And over the years, as we saw this next generation, okay, that's what the G stands for, of technology to be introduced, more technology is starting to connect to this network. So we went from pagers to now we had the introduction of the iPhone. And when we get to where we are today, we all know 5G is a very hot and exciting topic. It's going to introduce a lot of new technology to us. Yes, faster speeds. Yes, lower latency. But think about all the endless possibilities, all this emerging technology that 5G is going to open the door for, okay? Which is really is going to add more value to the commercial real estate space, okay? So what is 5G? As I mentioned, it's simply just the fifth generation of technology being deployed on how we connect to this network, okay? It's going to elevate other technology companies to introduce new items, new IoT devices that are going to connect. It's going to help us connect not only people, but also machine to machine, objects. It's actually going to be a complete network that holistically we all are sharing data. What it's not, 5G is not a spectrum, okay? It's not a spectrum, and 5G is not everywhere today. It's going to take time to deploy this out. And my only joke I have is it does not cost $5,000. That's not 5G. All right. So what are the three use cases? When you look at 5G, what the industry is really excited about is enhanced mobile broadband, okay? We all want our devices to work faster, right? It's my data, I want it now. I want faster speeds, faster connections. No one likes to pick up a cell phone or a tablet and sit there and wonder why it takes the download so fast. We want these faster experience. We're gonna see speeds up to 10 gigabits. Now we're already seeing advertisements for 1 to 2 gig in certain markets like New York. Okay, understand 4G LTE was 60 megabits to 100. So if I'm getting a gig to 2 gig and I pay for that plan, people are going to want to experience it, have that user experience. That means if I have a 5G plan, I'm going to want to leverage it inside commercial real estate. When I'm on your property, I better be able to connect to a 5G network. Next would be the IoT, as you heard. So this is explosion of IoT devices touching the network. Now, IoT does not consume a lot of bandwidth per se, but when we talk about the billions and billions and more things that are connecting and touching this network, it will drive a demand on the bandwidth. So you're gonna have to plan for that network. Will it be able to support more and more devices touching this network, right? And lastly, it's gonna have to be dense. We're going to want to move to what next would be the ultra low latency, what 5G is going to bring. And that's what I'm mostly excited about, because now we talk about really enhancing the user experience. When we talk about gamers, virtual reality, augmented reality, self-driving vehicles, remote surgeries, you're going to need a very ultra low latency network. And so those who are connecting to this, if they're not experiencing this, most likely they're going to Yelp and say, don't go to this property. They're going to move someplace else. So this is what 5G is so exciting about. It's opening the door to the impossible and making the impossible possible. All right, so some of the trade-offs. Real quick, understand that 5G is going to be deployed on many different bands, okay? So when you talk about the low bands to the high bands, there are trade-offs. So when you're looking at your commercial real estate, if you're in your market that has 5G on the lower bands, yes, you can coverage a larger footprint, but you're going to have less bandwidth, which means increase also the latency. As we move up the spectrum, you're going to see I cannot travel as far. I'm going to be greater sensitive to interference in the real estate space, but I have greater bandwidth. But I also have lower latency, which the 5G brings. So there are trade-offs when we're looking at the spectrum. And this is a conversation you're going to want to have with system integrators to understand what spectrum is in your market. Now, when we move indoors, you really have to understand that 5G is going to be deployed out on different spectrums in different ways for different use cases. So maybe you need to blanket your coverage throughout your facilities, throughout commercial real estate with 5G. You're going to focus more on the lower bands. That mid band is really going to be the sweet spot that we believe in building connectivity is going to want for 5G. And then when you have machine to machine communications, you have the immersive experience, you're going to want that millimeter wave 5G, which is going to drive a lot of data, a lot of fast machine to machine communication. Now, lastly, I'll just finish with this. When we get 5G for indoors, when it finally does come here and we're utilizing it, it's no longer a conversation of what is your 5-year plan for your space, for your commercial realty. It's really, what is your 5G plan? How are you going to be able to support this explosion of technology that 5G is bringing? How are you going to ensure that your user experience for customers and clients are moving onto your property? 5G will require multiple bands. It's not just going to be on one band. Carriers' 5G spectrum will be different in different markets, okay? Also, 4G LTE is not going away. But lastly, most importantly, we need to understand what you're trying to do for your space. We have to sit down and understand what's driving your need for 5G, because 5G is not everywhere, but what are you trying to do and trying to accomplish? Maybe you need the higher bands, maybe you need the lower bands, and we can help you there as well. And that is it. I appreciate it, Rick, and I'll turn it back over to you.
That was great. Angelo, actually, a question that I also hear all the time, when do you think 5G will make its way indoors?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get asked that a lot. Everyone gets excited about 5G. You got to look at the carriers. The carriers are really going to tackle this problem, that problem with this exciting time in three ways. They're first going to optimize their macro network first, because that's where they get the most return on investment. So they're going to work on the macro, outdoor networks. And then they're going to look at their larger venues, the stadiums. They're going to want to go ahead and upgrade those to 5G networks, because again, it's return on investment. And then we're going to see on the third leg come to in building. And even then, when it comes in building, it's again on what spectrum and what are going to be the use cases. So probably, if I had to guess, over the next, from now and the next 5 years. Okay. And plus also it's an adoption of our devices. Who has a 5G phone?
And can you name one misconception about 5G?
So there's a big misconception about 5G that folks think 5G is millimeter wave. And that's because a lot of advertisements you see out there, 5G again is not a spectrum, it's a technology. So 5G will come in many different flavors. So even though you may say, I want 5G millimeter wave, it may not be in your area. 5G can be deployed out on all the bands as I showed you on my presentation.
That was great. Well, thank you so much, Angelo. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick, for your time. I'm glad to be here.
You bet. We're now going to move to a short video from Corning. Thank you for that. So now I'd like to introduce Mr. John Doolin. John is the Vice President of Market Development for Corning. John is a 30-year global telecom and enterprise executive and has held senior positions in product management, marketing and sales in the areas of fiber optics, wireless, and new technology development. John's currently with Corning. John is focused on introducing its fiber optic and wireless innovation to the commercial real estate market. Welcome, John.
Well, thank you so much, Rick, and thank you to the RealCom team for a another opportunity to join such a great panel. Great topics. Obviously, everyone in the world's talking about this topic, and it's a great honor to be a part of the panel and discuss 5G. We heard Mark Early get a question about, are we going to need Wi-Fi or 5G? And I completely agree with Mark in that both of these cellular wireless applications and systems are going to coexist today as they do and into the future. As we've worked with our clients in the real estate industry and the tenants that occupy their buildings or the companies that work in the factories, we have discovered that they are really looking hard because of COVID on how can we get the mobility we need to get our workers back into offices safe, our people moving into hotels or going out and traveling again and staying in hotels, have them feel safe, and really about mobility and the role of 5G in mobility. The other thing we're hearing from our clients is we really believe that the promise of 5G is on its way, and we'll talk about that here in the next slide. One of the things that, again, we work with our clients, we really need to understand, Mark, you said this very important thing. You really need on a new build to get the right members of your team in the room and form an IT/OT team that identifies all of the needs for the new build. And I'm talking just new builds here. And some of the work we've done, we've already started to see some really important outcomes from this team approach from various functions with inside the company, the developer, and their partners. Elimination of the old way of doing it, if you will. Getting rid of unnecessary rooms, getting space back. A wireless first strategy is being built into as they look at how do we redesign a truly smart building and what's the role of Wi-Fi and 5G in that smart building. And furthermore, how do we make sure that when we're doing our CapEx and OpEx planning, we know that we put in a layer one infrastructure that has the broadband pipe? Because, you know, we've said for years, the biggest issue with wireless oftentimes is the wires. And we're hearing more and more of our clients planning a fiber, what we call fiber deep infrastructure, which takes the optical cable with power for powering and providing the data, high-speed data, to edge devices of all types. But we also understand the world is full of existing buildings, and we need, because of COVID, a lot of those buildings are getting looked at for upgrades. My big message and our message that I want to share with the audience is, it goes back to planning. Get the right members of a team, look at what you have, understand the networks you have today, OT and IT networks. Build a vision and a strategy that addresses what's your most critical needs? What are those things that you need to put into a budget, plan for, and implement? And what's the impact on the ROI? If you drive a lot of costs out on CapEx and OpEx, and you know you've got a future-ready building, it's a great day. And it's all about the planning. It's all about the planning. That's my message. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Hey, a couple of questions for you. How do you plan for 5G in your buildings?
Well, we've already done it. We've been doing it with a lot of our clients. We've done it ourselves at Corning. And it really starts, frankly, at layer one. You need to know where you have to put the fiber, how deep into the building, and spread it out on the horizontal, and make sure you have enough power to power the devices that you need. And it really starts with that physical layer infrastructure planning. And it also, while you're doing it, it addresses all the new applications that are coming as well as you do that architecture. So you have the fibers you need to cover everything in the building.
So I know this is an important one for commercial real estate owners, that what organizations are needed for a successful 5G deployment, internally and externally?
Well, internally, you've got, you know, your IT group, your OT group, your HVAC folks, your engineering teams, your development teams, your architects. It really crosses the whole gamut within an organization. Externally to that, the ecosystem is really coming together, where the general contractors get involved, your consultants, your low voltage contractors, your MEP firms, those are the kind of team members, and of course the OEMs and people that make this type of equipment. You get that ecosystem together in a group and you're gonna have the best outcome.
So the $1 million question, who will pay for all the in-building 5G, and is it the building owners, 3PO, who the carriers, who's paying for it?
Well, it depends on the venue, depends on the type of building, be it a sports stadium or a hospital or a commercial building. But my simple message when I'm working with our building owners and operators and developers is simply this: you must treat and plan for and budget for 5G as if it's the most critical infrastructure in your building. That way, if you've got it in the pro forma, you have that budgeted, whatever way it gets paid for down the track and any of those entities, at least you know you had the budget, you have the budget. And if you have to pay for it yourself, then at least you know you had the money in the budget.
Well, thank you, John. We're very glad you're here.
Thank you very much.
So our next guest from Ericsson is Mr. Roger Galvin. Roger focuses on indoor small cell strategy and market adoption at Ericsson. He works closely with North American mobile operators to help them expand their in-building mobile footprint with a variety of solutions that address the wide range of needs in the indoor segment. Roger has extensive experience in product management from 2G to 5G and Wi-Fi. So Roger, you're an old guy like me. Welcome.
Absolutely, Rick. Glad to be here and partake of this, the great panel presentation and discussion that we're going to have later on, and take any of the questions from the audience. Again, just want to encourage folks to please type in your questions. We're happy to take them. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about solutions that are available to bring that 5G experience in building. As some of my colleagues have shared in their presentations, 5G is not just a different spectrum, and you know there's some limited carrier budget. As we know, a lot of focus initially on their macro network. So how do we make it happen in the in-building space, right? Before I start there, just a little quick intro on Ericsson. I think most people know who we are. We have been around over 140 years, been in, participating in all of the Gs with thousands of patents worldwide, 100,000 strong employees in 180 countries. We have more than 50% of the market share on the RAN space in the US. So it's very likely that more than half of you attending this webinar are having your devices connected over an Ericsson radio. We're the first to launch 5G networks with the big three tier ones here in the US. We're about 10,000 employees in North America, and very proud to have been named the leader in 5G by Gartner, a recent survey. So let's talk a little bit about in-building, right? So these are numbers that we all resonate with, we all understand, and it almost feels a little bit upside down. So as Angela was describing earlier, the carriers are investing first in their 5G in the macro network, but we're spending 90% of our time indoors, especially with the pandemic, right? Even longer time indoors, I would argue, that I haven't left this office in quite some time. And now things are opening up, which is great. But still, the reality is we're consuming a lot of this data indoors. So the need to accelerate the 5G rollout and deployment and bring that cellular coverage in building is definitely there. 60% of users not satisfied with their indoor coverage. So from a spectrum point of view, we have this, very wide range of bands, from low bands to millimeter wave, and certainly solutions that address all of these different spectrums. What is the best really for indoor? And I think, as some of my colleagues have mentioned before, it really depends on what you're trying to do. But for the majority of your commercial real estate buildings, that mid-band spectrum in green is likely to be the sweet spot, I think was the word Angelo used. And I fully agree with that, where you get basically the best bang for your buck as far as capacity as well as coverage. And as you can see, just for the bandwidth of these bands, right, the more you move to the right, the wider you see these bands, in particular TDD spectrum and maybe some of the common FDD bands like AWS, PCS here in the US are great solutions, because you deploy one or two of these bands and you can get all of the carriers to provide service inside your building, as opposed to have an exclusive radio that only works for carrier one and not for carrier two, right? So where cost is definitely an issue, you want to look for what is going to maximize the experience with the least amount of dollars. What have we used from solutions in the past? Well, of course, DAS has been the predominant solution for years, and it has been great in providing that indoor coverage and capacity in many venues, from sports venues where you basically get all of the spectrum bands delivering 3G, 4G, 5G, including millimeter wave now added as an overlay with separate radios on top of the active DAS. But there are some challenges, right? As I just said, millimeter wave, you can't quite get to that point with DAS, even if you go with fiber. And then if you're going with a coax solution, you sort of hit a bit of a challenge going into higher frequencies. Small cells are great, but typically you would need to deploy one per carrier, so not great either. So how do we try to mitigate or solve some of the challenges we have with the different solutions that are available? And so on top of that, keep in mind there are new technologies and things that you're going to hear on top of just 5G at a RAN and spectrum that we've been talking about so far. So what do we do about cloud and open RAN? Hyperscalers, indoor small cells, is it a private network that I need to build versus a public network? Do I have specific use cases that I will address in my building versus providing mobile broadband service for the carriers? So where we were with the active DAS and still are is, typically a large amount of equipment to provide the many bands support versus where we believe small cells can provide a simplified solution where it is applicable, where it makes sense. So this is my final chart here, where we have recently seen some in some studies, especially when we look at the new spectrum in TDD, that closer to that sweet spot area like C-band in the US, where $80+ billion have been invested by the carriers to bring that differentiated experience in many locations, including in building, right? The amount of equipment you need from a traditional DAS solution increases significantly, where small cells have also evolved to a point where now you can have one small cell product to something like about this size that you can have all the carriers riding on it with a single cable, and certainly a much simplified solution. And we believe that going forward, we're going to see a fully digital solution where you have one antenna point supporting multiple bands, multiple carriers. And so the amount of equipment you need for your building will be reduced significantly. And then back to the point that John was making earlier in the question that Rick asked, who pays for the equipment, right? So what we are seeing, and there's more and more opportunity as we lower the cost of the equipment in building for you as a building owner, as you plan in your budgets, together with system integrators, neutral host companies, to cover the cost of that equipment that is inside your building in common, and the carriers may be providing the baseband, or even some models where the basebands, the cost is brought in by a neutral host. But we see an opportunity for us as an industry to reduce that total TCO by about 50% going into that direction forward. And we think this will be a very exciting time for us over the next 5 years or so in bringing 5G in building. So I'll wrap it up here, Rick, and turn it back to you, sir.
Now, that was fantastic, Roger. So what new opportunities do building owners have to acquire in building systems?
Well, so as I was just saying, there's a large number of channel partners that we work with and that you're all familiar with in the industry, from neutral host companies to system integrators that can now bring in these solutions. So as a building owner, you can work directly with them to look at solutions and alternatives that are available in the market and what might be best for you, right? Then we feel that now with small cells becoming available, it's one more tool in the toolbox that you can use depending on cost, capacity, coverage targets that you have.
And Roger, what new use cases are you seeing for indoor high-speed networks that are really driving deployments?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think, you know, some of my co-panelists have covered some of these, but I think still mobile broadband is still the largest driver, right? And in building, I think the most common request I get every time we engage with partners is neutral host a ready solution, right? Because they don't want to invest on separate parallel systems. So something that is neutral host ready addresses that mobile broadband use case is by far number one. But then private networks is a very much a growing one. We have now a number of factories that are moving in this direction with Industry 4.0, as well as ports and mining. All of these we're seeing development when it comes to 5G use case deployments.
Well, thank you for that, Roger, and thanks so much for being here.
Of course, my pleasure.
Before we introduce our next guest, a short video from Crown Castle.
Technology has changed the way we live. Emerging technologies are erasing the boundaries that separate people, places, and ideas.
For more than 25 years, Crown Castle has been building and maintaining the infrastructure that supports this new way of life.
Towers keep us connected,
instantly delivering voice, text, and data to the devices we depend on.
Small cells improve coverage and set the stage for new advancements, like the Internet of Things,
smart city technologies,
and 5G.
Tying it together is our nationwide network of fiber,
bringing the entire world to us in the blink of an eye.
Here is where we find ourselves.
Providing the infrastructure that new innovation requires.
The space where transformative ideas thrive.
The connections that keep communities together, safe and growing.
And growing.
We're Crown Castle.
We're Crown Castle.
The pathway to possible.
That was great. Excited now to introduce you to our next guest, Mark Rudink, Vice President of Technology Strategy for Crown Castle. Mark is responsible for defining business initiatives, evaluating emerging technologies, and bringing to market solutions that leverage Crown Castle's tower, fiber, and small cell assets. Prior to joining Crown, Mark has held leadership roles in engineering and operations with major service providers and several startups. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to participate in this webinar this afternoon. So one of the things I wanted to talk through as we look at the evolution from 1G to 5G, and I just thought this was very interesting. So when we had the 1G phones, the analog phones that you used to carry around in a bag or were the size of a brick, and then we shrunk the phones down into something you could barely find in your pocket when we moved into 2G and 3G. And those primarily were used for just voice, maybe some text messaging. And then as we started to, the designers started to age, the phones got bigger because you couldn't see the numbers on the phone. So luckily the technology has been able to keep up with that. And so now we can have videos on our phone as well as a lot of other activities as well. And then one of the key things that we think through when we talk about 5G is the ability to support a large number of devices. I think there are some questions around why is 5G important? It's not just the faster speed that we're talking about and the lower latency, which then enable things like the augmented reality, et cetera. But then when you talk about the multitude of devices, anything from smart parking within a garage that your tenants are going to enter, to be able to have wayfinding, things of that nature, those become much more efficient on a 5G network than you would on previous generations of cellular technology. So the efficiency of the network is really critical as we move from 4G to 5G and being able to support the multitude of connected devices. One of the things that we may hear about within 5G networks is the idea of network slicing. Well, what does that mean? What does that enable me to do? So there, you can enable different slices for different types of technologies or different tenants. And so when we talk about a multi-tenant solution, and Roger was talking about a neutral host solution, those terms are generally used interchangeably. So if I want to be able to support multiple wireless carriers on my 5G, I can have a slice for one of the carriers, perhaps a slice for a private network, or another slice to be able to support the building ownership and the building automation and monitoring the system. So one of the key use cases, and I'll touch on this in just a minute, is really making my building more efficient. So if you think about the importance of network slicing, when I have a device that does not move, I can be much more efficient in not having to have to deal with mobility because it's not going anywhere. And I can guarantee different qualities of services for different types of devices that are on my network. Some are mission critical. For example, if I'm connecting anything that has to do with credit card readers wirelessly, I'm going to be able to do that and make sure that those packets go through, more importantly than a video packet, as an example. So one of the initial deployments that we're working on right now is with the Rudin Company at 345 Park Avenue in New York. And so this is an initial deployment right now. It's a live 4G network on CBRS, and that will be upgradable to 5G. We're planning on having the remaining floors of the building deployed by the end of this year. And one of we have multiple tenants within this building, NFL, Blackstone, KPMG, that can then utilize private wireless networks over the 5G services if they would like to do that. And this is running, as I mentioned, over the CBRS network, and certainly it has the infrastructure in place, and John mentioned this too. As we put the cabling within this building that supports multiple frequency bands, our initial use case is on the CBRS band. So this just gives you an idea of the coverage within the building. So very robust coverage in the concourse and lobby. So as people are utilizing their phones within the facility, very high speed access and for being able to do your phone calls, video surfing, et cetera. So we talked about some of the use cases. And one of the key things that are being pushed within this property is efficiency of the building. How do I know which floors are occupied? Can I turn the heat down or can I turn the heat up? Lighting control, et cetera. So when I think about green buildings and being able to really take advantage of having more knowledge of my occupied space, IoT sensors are really important for those types of applications, and they just become more easily to deploy when they're wirelessly connected. One other use case I'll bring up before I turn it back over to Rick is just looking at the secure access to internal networks. So this is something that we see from the tenants within the building. They want to be able to have a device that's only used within that building while their employees are on premise. And then as soon as they leave premise, they don't have access to that system anymore. So those are one of the private wireless applications that we have now been hearing about. Rick, I'll turn it back over to you now.
Well, thank you, Mark. So how do 5G networks enable neutral hosts?
And so one of the things that's really interesting within the 5G network space, and we talked about the network slicing. So we have can have network slicing for IoT devices, network slices for videos, and that same type of technology has network slices, and you can allocate a certain amount of capacity for private users or the wireless carriers or cable companies or whoever might want to be able to provide service within the real estate offices.
Thank you, Mark. And one other question, what are your thoughts on Open RAN?
Yeah, so Open RAN's one of the things that's really exciting about deploying Open RAN is that the infrastructure that you put in place goes beyond just the cabling. And now that I'm able to put in servers to be able to support my wireless network, I can reuse that same infrastructure, those same those servers for other capabilities as well, be it machine learning and artificial intelligence of all this IoT sensor data that I'm bringing in. So having that shareable infrastructure in place to not only support things around the wireless network, but also other types of applications as well is really important, and Open RAN enables you to do that.
Well, thank you, Mark. That was very informative. Appreciate your time. So our next guest is Mr. Alex Fershke, Head of Building Technology Infrastructure from DEXIS. Alex, first of all, thanks for waking up in the middle of the night to come and see us. Alex is responsible for developing a smart building strategy and framework to execute across one of Australia's largest property portfolios. He's held various roles in information technology with over 20 years experience in organizations, including DEXIS, Deutsche Bank, and the University of New South Wales. One of his specialties is in building connectivity. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you, Rick. DEXIS is a large owner and operator of commercial real estate in Australia, and that's actually the perspective I would like to bring to the panel today. I find that the 5G marketing wave is in full swing, and in some ways it is overshadowing some of the other technologies out there, and it is brushing over some of the challenges of delivering 5G, particularly inside buildings. I'd actually like to just go back to basics. I find that when I talk to asset and facility managers at DEXIS, there is a range of understanding. Yet to do good asset planning, I think a base level of understanding is important. And that starts with just simply the term wireless. I think this session is called wireless, yet we're talking about 5G. So I just want to highlight that there is and there will continue to be wireless alternatives to 5G. And these have different attributes. On the chart here, we've mapped speed and range. And when it comes to speed, 5G excels by definitely. But when you're looking at other factors such as cost and power consumption, and power being relevant when we are trying to achieve true wireless, so wireless not just in terms of communications, but also power, i.e. battery operated devices, then maybe some of the other technologies may be more suitable. In particular, down the bottom of this chart, some of the technologies such as Zigbee, Sigfox, and LoRaWAN are particularly well suited to low power and long range and good building penetration use cases. So how do we actually achieve in-building cellular coverage today? There's three ways that happens. The first is macro external signal from external radio towers penetrating the walls and windows. And that works perfectly well for your home, for a small or maybe even medium low rise commercial building. Now I emphasize low rise because those macro cells are actually pointed at the street level for maximum effect. So people in cars, on the footpath, and in the retail density. However, as we go up a building, then that signal decreases. And let's say when you hit 20 stories, it becomes a real problem in a commercial building, such as a high rise office or residential building. So the middle solution, repeaters, is one solution. It's where you pick up the external signal, you amplify it, and you pump that through an antenna system inside the building. And then to the right, we have the distributed antenna system, the DAS, which some of you may be familiar with. It seems similar to a repeater, but the big difference is that the cellular network is connected via fiber optic link to the carrier directly, and there's a radio base station inside the building. Now, the reason that is significant is because of not just providing coverage, but providing capacity. And a good example is you may have experienced this yourself on your device. When you're looking at your phone, you've got 5 bars, i.e. you have good signal, but you try to watch a video and nothing happens. And the reason that often is because there's 5,000 other people connected to the same radio tower, all trying to watch a video, and there simply isn't enough capacity to serve everyone. And that's the key difference with the DAS, because there's dedicated capacity to all the occupants inside your building. So if we look at the components of what make, talking about on coverage a little bit more, or in particular the external macro coverage, this diagram here represents one of the challenges we have. Angela pointed out that 5G is not a spectrum. Practically, the way it is being delivered, it is being delivered in the higher frequency spectrums, because the other spectrums are still being used by 4G and 3G. It's the higher spectrum that gives us the high speeds, but it also has decreased range and penetration into buildings. So the takeaway for a landlord is, if you have an asset today that has coverage issues, then those issues are not going away with 5G, and in fact, they may even get worse. So the solution is a DAS, and what does one look like? If you look at the picture on the right, those ceiling-mounted antennas, that's sort of one end of the DAS. Those antennas are connected via wiring to a radio base station per carrier in normally the basement, but other locations in the building too. So the way we're seeing the DAS evolve, so the passive DAS is what I just described. If we skip the hybrid and move into the middle, the active DAS, those antennas are replaced by powered active units similar to the Wi-Fi access points you will have at home or in your corporate office. And they in turn are connected not via coax cabling, but via fiber optic cable. To the two options on the right are technologies that are evolving in parallel to 5G. So the Open RAN was mentioned, that involves the virtualization of the radio base station. And what's interesting for a landlord, the impact there is the reduction in the size of the equipment. The radio base station becomes the size of a PC, for example, opposed to previously 1 or 2 full height server racks per carrier in your comms room in the basement. So what was previously a full room may go away to a single device. And on the right hand side, small cell, exciting for the landlord, not because there's a further reduction in space, but because the small cell actually has in essence the radio base station embedded in itself and also connected to the carrier's cloud infrastructure. It provides the landlord with flexibility to deploy coverage to a single floor or a single tenant. That's something that wasn't really practical with a DAS, because it required this high investment in a radio base station, and it was pretty much an all or nothing affair. So you would do the whole building, and in many cases that would be a multi-million dollar project. So this is where small cell is particularly exciting for landlords. So some closing comments from a owner-operator perspective. 5G is definitely great, don't get me wrong, but we should expect an increase in cost. I've got an asterisk there, because that increase in cost is dependent on some variables. Looking at the Australian standards, I'm actually predicting a doubling of cost in the short term because of elements, things like MIMO and other technical elements. But those will in the long run be offset by the last two technologies I mentioned, which is the Open RAN, so the radio base station component, and the small cell technology that will allow us to deploy in-building coverage in a more efficient way. The other point I want to make is that 4G will remain the workhorse for most end-user voice and data requirements for many years. If 5G has been released in some areas, but if you look at your phone now, you will we have been living off 4G, and you will still see 3G in many regions. 4G was released about 10 years ago. yet 3G is still seen today. 5G and 4G will see a similar situation. So 4G may well have another 10 years of life. So that for an asset manager, don't panic if your asset hasn't got 5G. If it's got good 4G coverage, then that will suit a lot of customers for some time to come. The other point, if you have a 4G DAS, note that it's generally not upgradable because of the shift in technology and the higher spectrums. Having said that, if you have a recent 4G DAS, then the base station upgrade done by the carrier may well deliver you some 5G functionality. Importantly, it may deliver your customers that 5G logo, which really for a lot of customers is all that matters. And also you may be able to deliver 5G on top of an existing 4G DAS in a more economical fashion. The last point is really think about your customers, think about your use case. At the moment, a quality 4G coverage will deliver 4K streaming video. That's pretty bandwidth intensive. So if 5G provides higher speeds, then does your typical office customer really need that? And the last closing point, not on the slide, one of the side effects of the way 5G DAS technology is moving, it means more equipment at the edge. So those active power devices on the ceiling within the tenancy. So as a landlord, we need to think the change and the requirement to access tenant space to maintain this equipment may be a challenge. So back to you, Rick. Thank you for that.
Alex, thank you. A few questions for you. Do you think 5G will make building systems wireless?
Okay, I could answer that question with it depends, but I think that's a boring way to answer. So I'm a technology evangelist, so I should say yes, but I'm going to say no, and I'm going to justify that. Not in the short term. The use cases for wireless are a lot stronger in other industries. If you think about a smart city, it's very dispersed. If you think about infrastructure, it's very dispersed. So wireless is very attractive. If you think about logistics, it's dispersed, and you may have mobility requirements like trucks moving across the country. So wireless and 5G, super attractive. When you're looking at real estate, we have a static asset that does not move, that's going to sit there for 30 to 50 years. We have very good infrastructure, cabling infrastructure inside that building. So the drivers are simply not as strong as in other industries. Plus, we're highly dependent on our related industries. So it's not just real estate, but it's the engineering professions and industries around that. So the HVAC, the BMS, the security that we rely on, it's not really up to the landlord to make that decision. It depends on, you know, what will be the technology in that building service at the time. Noting that, you know, we don't upgrade building systems for maybe 10 years. So, you know, hence I'm saying I'm not expecting a change anytime soon because we may not be planning upgrades for another 10 years on these systems.
How important is or will 5G be to the tenants?
I think that's probably a very important point of note. So when we talk about 5G, there's two perspectives. There's the base building, which I guess I just touched on, and then there's the customer perspective. And for the customers, we've very much seen an increase of importance of connectivity, any connectivity, not particularly wireless. And it's become essential to any business, even if you're not a technology business, connectivity has become essential. And 5G, of course, does open up some use cases for the customers. So I think, and in terms of marketing an asset, 5G may well be very important. And I think the trick is to sort of covering that off well. So thinking about the use cases and tailoring for the individual tenant requirements, which may be a challenge when you have a diverse portfolio of tenants that have different requirements, and you may have one customer that's looking to, for example, go fully wireless, make away with Wi-Fi and actually run their whole corporate network on 5G. And if that's the case, then 5G has a great use case. But we should ask ourselves, you know, is that a landlord responsibility to provide that capability, or is that a fit out question?
So that's actually a good lead on to my next question, is will 5G enabled commercial building have a market advantage?
Look, I think definitely. I think you know, marketing commercial assets, it's very competitive. We're always looking for that edge, whether it be an app, whether it be sophisticated end of trip facilities. And the reality is, in the A and premium grade space, you know, they're all very similar. So we're always looking for that edge. And I think 5G definitely provides that opportunity to sort of set your building apart. So, yes.
So something I'm kind of curious about that I believe is similar in Australia as it is in the US. What are some of the challenges landlords have in implementing DAS in 5G?
Rick, I'm not sure we have time to answer that. There's just too many of these. I mean, what we've seen in Australia, and we have a bit of a unique scenario where we effectively only have, two major carriers. So they have a bit of a monopoly in the market. And because of that, what we've seen in Australia is the cost of a DAS, including the connection, so the radio base station, those costs are now fully borne by the landlord. So it's become a very expensive exercise. We then also we don't have a neutral host model in Australia. So we have to go with a lead carrier. And then again, that means there's a very weak negotiation position for the landlord. We're hoping to see that go away with neutral host and with things like small cell, because the thing about small cell also, how it's different to a DAS, is it may actually allow a tenant to deploy in-building coverage on their own without having to rely on the base building infrastructure. So, and that's very attractive for a landlord which struggles with these very high costs. And also, you know, the need, you know, when we're doing a new development, there's this need to sort of to deploy a DAS through the whole building when half the building is still being fitted out, and tenants have a habit of sort of moving or disconnecting cables in the ceiling or moving the antennas, and the DAS being broken for those floors. So there's a number of challenges that 5G or the related technology will actually help deal with. So that's apart from the speed, and there's some logistical changes that are quite attractive for a landlord.
Well, thank you for that, Alex. So I think what we'd like to do at this point, I really appreciate your time today, by the way. Thanks again for coming on board at such an early hour. So we appreciate it.
The sun has risen since we started.
Yeah, I kind of noticed the light, I think, a little bit in the background. It's pretty funny. So we'd like to go ahead and bring back all the panelists, if we could, and all of our guests. And we had several questions come up. So we appreciate those questions. Some of them are directed individually and some of them are general, and I'll just maybe just start hitting some of those if that's good with everybody, and we can figure out what makes sense if that works for you all. First question, can you comment of 5G over CBRS spectrum for in-building, such as is there enough spectrum on the CBRS band for 5G ultra wide channels, in the building? I think I know who should be able to answer that question. Mark, is that one you have?
Sure, I can go ahead and take that. When being able to support speeds of over a gigabit per second on the CBRS band, it's certainly possible, and we're being able to see that. So if you're talking about getting up to the ultra wide band around the 10 gigabits per second, that's typically in the millimeter wave spectrum, so much higher spectrum. But within CBRS, a gigabit per spectrum per second is certainly achievable and fairly straightforward to do.
Yep, I agree.
I'm glad to see Angelo and Roger nodding their heads as well.
Excellent. Well, this question was directed to CommScope. How do you recommend addressing IoT within commercial real estate space?
Oh, no, that's actually a great question. So first thing you got to do is sit down, and I think we've all said it, all of us panelists said it, you have to have a great plan. You got to sit down and talk about what is the five-year plan, what's your 5G plan, but look at what kind of IoT you're trying to address. There's different technologies in the wireless space. So are we talking about a cellular DAS? We can talk about Wi-Fi, we can talk about a private network, you know, a private CBRS network. Each one of those is going to serve its purpose. So when we talk about IoT, It's maybe you need some to be offloaded onto a Wi-Fi network. Maybe you need to be offloaded on a private LTE network, and then you still need a cellular DAS. So when addressing that, you really want to understand what's going to be the demand. Is it mission critical? Do you want to share that spectrum with mission critical IoT with just regular, you know, traffic? So those are some of the things that we talk about. And then we also talk about converged networks and how do we make these networks smarter to accompany more IoT devices.
Thank you for that.
Rick, I'm going to add something onto that because I think this is an important question, and it's a confusing question for a lot of building owners, frankly, and because what's encompassing in what is IoT anyway? And, you know, us technologists, we live this every day. So this is the language we speak. And, but, you know, I think it starts with a basic understanding of, quite frankly, acronyms and all the buzzwords we use. And it's an education thing, but it's also, once you get that through that, I really believe it's really for the building owner, for the developer to decide what are the most critical use cases, applications, both IT and OT, and prioritize them. And then bring in, and there's plenty of industry experts, many are on this call, that can help with the choices and what the trade-offs are. Because there are choices and trade-offs on any type of technology for a particular use case. So just wanted to add that.
Oh, thank you, John.
Yep.
So Roger, I have a question directed to you. Do you mean with millimeter wave, small cell, it's better the enterprise invests in an open RAN with networks splicing to connect with employees, core networks, or with MNOs?
Okay, there's a lot of, to John's point, a lot of acronyms on this one.
Yes, I want to start with, spell out the, in layman's terms, the acronyms best you can.
Right. Let me maybe start from the very basic that we're talking about, neutral host, and then Mark from Crown was talking about network slicing, right? And what we can do with technology, so that you deploy a single RAN infrastructure, access infrastructure, right? Cellular infrastructure in your building. And off of that infrastructure, you can serve a variety of different applications. You can serve your mobile broadband needs for your mobile devices, such as your, you know, smartphones. People are coming through and whichever carrier they're in. If it's a true neutral host solution, all the carriers are serving their customers, right? The other piece of that is you can also, using a slice of that RAN infrastructure, serve some private network use cases that you may have for your building, whether it's security cameras or sensors and whatnot. So you don't need to think about, oh, I need to deploy 3-4 technologies in parallel to address all the use cases. You're actually able to deliver a lot of services with a relatively small, I would say, don't think about a multiplier, but an investment that you can reuse to address multiple use cases, right? When it comes to, I mean, the millimeter wave part of the question, and I'm not sure if I confused folks during my presentation when I was saying that millimeter wave today is something that is delivering a fantastic experience, right? We're now in the multi gigabits per second with a single radio. I actually have this is what an indoor millimeter wave looks like. You can see it's fairly small, right? Some of Ericsson and some of my peers here, CommScope, Corny, I think I know you guys are all have similar products, and it's delivering a fantastic experience to customers. But don't think about that as a neutral host capability today, right? That is unique to a specific carrier that is trying to differentiate their service. So they will typically deploy millimeter wave on spectrum that they have acquired for a specific application, right? I'm sure the day will come when we'll see multiple bands packed into a small millimeter wave radio, small cell, but we're not quite there yet. So I would say millimeter wave is a little bit of a different application when you actually need that spectrum for ultra low latency, very high capacity and performance, which is not the same as what you would want for a neutral host and even multiple layers of application like network slicing we're talking about before. And finally, I'll comment on the Open RAN. Of course, this is evolving, right? And I think all of us are very much engaged in participating of how open interfaces will make a difference where we go. And there's a variety of layers of our network where interfaces have already been open earlier, and more openness as we get closer and closer to the radio. We're making progress in that front as an industry, but I would decouple that for now from what solutions are available today in the market to address your needs. Open RAN is going to happen in parallel as a track, and will simplify things to a large extent, but you don't need to wait for that. There are solutions available today that address your mobile needs, I should say cellular needs, within your infrastructure without the need for Open. I know it's a long answer, and others, please feel free to jump in, as there's a lot of things on this question.
Yeah, and Roger, that is a great answer. I just want to comment and I appreciate your insight. And I just want to add that, you know, for those who are listening on a call, and again, misconception, everyone gets excited about 5G millimeter wave, but 5G is going to be deployed out on other spectrums, especially here in the States. Look at T-Mobile, right? They're advertising 600 megahertz. That's what they're going to optimize their existing 4G LTE network first, and then work on those other bands as they're getting. We just had the auction on a large mid-band spectrum. Some markets do have millimeter wave, but you may want millimeter wave, but it may not be in your market yet.
Thank you. And Roger, you have a much better memory than I. I would not have remembered to address all those in that order. So another question from the audience: which version of 5G release can support video streaming via CDN for venues? Anybody want to tackle that?
I can go ahead and give that a shot. So right now we're deploying, or the carriers are deploying, release 16, release 17 is not very far away. Both of those releases are able to support video streaming over CDNs or content delivery networks. We can do that in 4G right now. 5G has additional bandwidth, so we can do it on both of those technologies. And I think when we think through, and I talked a little bit about the network slicing aspects of it, that's one of the advantages that 5G has. You can have a slice that you dedicate to video services that may not be a high priority service, depending upon the application, if you want to reserve some of that bandwidth, if you will, for voice or other mission critical applications too.
Yeah.
And I would argue the carriers are looking at all of their business use cases. They're making their priorities, as we all know. That will really have the big impact on timing of all this. And we know that's something they're looking at for sure in their use cases.
Excellent. Thank you. Another question, is it possible to realize a DAS without using fiber as backhaul from the operator, but radio backhaul?
So I guess I'll take a quick comment on this one. My assumption is that somebody has a DAS within their building, maybe there's a branch office, and they need to, still, it's a great question, because you have to connect back into the operator's network eventually. And it really depends upon the size of the property and the bandwidth that's required. So wireless connectivity is certainly feasible. You know, we can do wireless connections over 10 gigabits per second if it's a point-to-point link, and that gets you back into the fiber backbone. So certainly that's something that can be done and makes sense in certain deployments.
Agreed.
Yeah, if I could just add to Mark's point, one question we get frequently is, in addition to wireless backhaul or radio backhaul, How about untrusted backhaul and an ISP provided connectivity into the building? Can I use that for my backhaul into the carrier, right? And it's not impossible, but it depends on what are your targets when it comes to capacity, how many users you're going to serve, how much spectrum you're going to have in the building. If you're trying to get to that gigabit per second on the devices being served in a larger venue, that ISP provided backhaul may not be sufficient, right? So you may need to consider that. But if it's a relatively small venue, maybe you are just trying to serve a small number of tenants within a building, it might be sufficient, right? So it varies. And I, like Alex, I hate to use the word, the answer depends, right? But this is, it's one of those cases that it's definitely possible, right? Depending on what your targets are for that particular application.
Yeah, Roger. And you also, I think we have to consider, and I don't want to confuse those who are watching this, but latency, right? With 5G. And we have to also ensure that we're not exceeding any kind of latency requirements to deliver a 5G network.
Absolutely. And I will add that, you know, we work with carriers and they're building out their 5G networks on an architecture that's fiber to connect all the small cells. And because of latency and some of the use cases for autonomous driving and all the other things they're planning for, the one nice thing about having that fiber-rich outside plant network, it's bringing fiber closer and closer to even buildings that most buildings have a fiber running to them now, but we're bringing a lot more fiber closer to buildings. And I think that will be a real benefit for building owners as to make that, get that broadband pipe for the last 30 feet into the basement, into the MDF, and then you can light it up for your 5G systems.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So what is the maximum coverage distance range of millimeter wave?
So that's a tricky question. And the reason why it's a tricky question, because millimeter wave spectrum obviously is, as you saw on my presentation, I think we all said it too, is subjected to a lot of interference. And so you'll see individuals and organizations say, you know, several hundred feet to 1500 feet, but then you throw in a building with a thick wall, people, trees, now all of a sudden your signal just degraded. And that was always a challenge for in-building wireless, even at the lower spectrum, when you're designing a network and you're designing a system to ensure you're meeting the coverage objective by the carriers, you had to, you know, work in IV wave and you do a heat map and you make sure it had a proper coverage. And even at the lower spectrum that travels far, it still was subjected to some interference. And so you had to factor that in. At these higher frequencies, the same thing happens. So if I just got clean sight, you're going to see it travel a little further. And that's why millimeter wave is really talking about, it's an exciting topic around smart cities, right? And you're talking about hotspots outside in metropolitan areas. In building millimeter wave, it's really going to be probably more for manufacturing, machine to machine, maybe again that immersed experience, user experience, but it's really not a very long distance that it can transmit. And let the panel also comment if they wish.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with Angelo on the in-building case. I was just going to add that when you're looking outdoors, very recently, we've been able to demonstrate, I believe it was with US Cellular, that you can travel kilometers actually with that millimeter wave spectrum. But that would be a different kind of application. Maybe you're trying to do fixed wireless access. It's not really your in-building, you know, application to your users. But if you go into sports venues, right, like the last two Super Bowl events we had in the US, all of them had great millimeter wave coverage because, to Angelo's point, you have no blockage, right? You mount your radio on the catwalk and you're facing all of those devices that users are holding in front of them. So it's a great location for that kind of application. You get into a business office, you have so much clutter, concrete walls in the middle, elevator shafts, depending on what the structure is, I find it very difficult to give a a number with a straight face. It's X square feet per radial, right? It's going to vary significantly based on that clutter.
Yeah, and Rick, I think that probably one of the drivers around that question is we look at commercial real estate and we think about bringing 5G into the space in smart spaces. And if you look at the millimeter wave, you know, what's it going to mean from an aesthetic point of view for the in-building? You know, it's because it can't travel as far. And when we move indoors, it's going to be subjected to a lot of interference. Now, I mean, I hate to use the term, but you look at a pizza with a bunch of pieces of pepperoni on it, you're going to have a lot more access points in your ceiling if you just want to cover your entire commercial real estate with millimeter wave. It just doesn't make sense. And, you know, sitting down with a trusted advisor that can help you map this out, I think we've all said it, you know, the mid-band is going to be probably one you're going to want to run with. That's going to be the hot spot for 5G. Yes, you may have a use case for a millimeter wave, and that may be one access point somewhere off in inside your space, but realistically, you're not going to deploy out millimeter wave completely indoors.
Great. Thank you, Angelo. So we have at least one more question here. Seeing that it may take some time for 5G to come indoors, should commercial real estate wait to deploy a wireless network?
Yeah, I can go ahead and start with that one if it's okay. So I talked a little bit about the property that we're deploying within 345 Park Avenue. Right now, that's a 4G network, which is then software upgradable to 5G. So there's no reason to wait. And actually, there's technology that enables you to run 4G and 5G simultaneously as the users migrate from one service to another. So there's no reason to wait. And as long as that you're deploying the right infrastructure in place, and that would be one of the questions that you should ask your either multi-tenant providers such as ourselves or the vendors that you're working with, what is the radio capability now and is it software upgradable or what is the upgrade path to 5G?
And to add, I would add, Mark, and I 100% agree with you. Also, when you look at 4G networks today, as we all know, the carriers are going to optimize their 4G LTE network first. So having a in-building DAS system that's 4G LTE, you're going to most likely see those bands being optimized to support 5G. So you want to make sure that one, your DAS system is able to be, you know, scalable to support 5G networks. Also, is it digital, right? Because the carriers are going to a virtualized network. So, you know, if you're having a digital system, you're going to be able to multiplex your fiber. You're not going to have a lot of demand on the fiber network, and you're going to be able to scale and add on these new 5G NR radios that will be required or coming soon. So no need to wait. 4G LTE, as Alex mentioned, is not going away anytime soon. It's going to be here for quite some time.
Yeah, and I'll add maybe a couple points here. Number one is just reiterating what Angelo said earlier, right? 5G not equals spectrum, right? So you can run 4G and 5G on the same spectrum band. So you're deploying a 4G infrastructure. To Mark's point, you want to make sure it is upgradable. That is number one. If you're going to deploy a brand new system, make sure it is upgradable to 5G. We have technology today, you know, dynamic spectrum sharing. When you're able to share the exact same spectrum, 10 megahertz, for example, in millisecond slices, we're serving 4G and 5G devices pretty much instantaneously. And the radio technology has that intelligence. So you're deploying an infrastructure that can serve both cases, right? So I don't think there's a need to wait. Fully agree with my colleagues here, right? The technology is there now to serve both 4G and 5G.
And I would say upgrades, make sure it's not a forklift upgrade where you're tearing into walls and ceilings. I tell our clients, build a robust broadband fiber pipe and put power out there. And you can do 5G designs today at any frequency band. We're all working, all the companies on this call are working on, that's where our R&D dollars are going, is to address the issues of getting 5G and other cellular systems inside of buildings, where, as we know, 80 to 90% of all traffic happens on our cell mobile devices. So just plan the cabling. I mean, it always starts there anyway. And that's where you save all your money down the track. If you've got, when you do have to do the upgrade, make sure you're not disrupting the whole internal part of the building just to add a new antenna. right?
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. And Rick, one last thing I would say is the DAS system need to leverage the front hall for future technology. The last thing, all of us hate this term. We've all lived this pain point, rip and replace. We don't want to rip and replace. We want to scale. We want to leverage the front hall to support that the new technology that's going to be introduced. And we got to give the commercial real estate community peace of mind, knowing that make that investment today. You know, connectivity is like the fourth utility. So they're going to want it. If you don't have it, your property is going to be less valuable. And we can help you design a system. All of us can help you design a system that's going to be scalable, support 5G in the future. But today, leverage your front hall infrastructure.
Nancy, do we have time for one last question?
Okay, 60 seconds.
All right, for Alex and Mark, what would you recommend briefly to your peers when starting on the 5G journey in a couple of sentences?
That's a good one.
Probably look at where you're asset is positioned at the moment. If, you know, expanding the previous question and answers, if you have trouble coverage at the moment, then don't wait, start the journey now. Engage your carrier is probably more important at the moment because 5G is still somewhat bespoke and some of the equipment is not approved with all carriers. So that carrier engagement is really, is more important than it's ever been, I think. And yeah, don't wait. But if you have got a relatively modern 4G DAS, then there's a lot of change happening at the moment. So I'm advising asset managers to sort of just wait a little bit, but not if you've got coverage issues.
Yeah, I would agree with the majority of those sentiments. I think probably one of the big things is if you're doing a new development, you know, plan your infrastructure ahead of time. And, you know, think about where your conduit needs to go. Think about where your pathways need to be. Even if you don't know exactly what you're doing yet, get ahead of that with your architects, get ahead of that with the planning committees, and really understand, you know, if you need to bring in some vendors to help you start to understand what that looks like and where those things go. There's tons of technology groups out there that can help. Anybody on here can help. You call any of these guys, they'll tell you exactly what you need to do. But getting ahead of it on a new development and then on your legacy assets, things that already exist, you know, if it's up, identify if what you have existing is upgradable. And if not, you know, start to think about what steps you need to take and get that planning committee together with your organization and get the people involved that will need to be there to help you, you know, build and pay for and support and operate that building and make sure that they know what exactly is going on and how it all works, because it's equally as important to know what you're putting in and your operations teams and everybody involved to know what it is and how it works.
Thank you, gentlemen. Over to you, Nancy.
All right. Hey, that was a great session. Thank you, Rick, for moderating. And thanks to all of our panelists for participating. We really appreciate your willingness to share your expertise with our audience today. Before we sign off, I'd like to take just 1 minute to mention a few events we have coming up over the next week. First, tune in tomorrow for our weekly news show, RealCom Live. This week, we'll focus on ESG and the role it plays on commercial and corporate real estate with our guest, Chris Caton with Code Green. And then also next Thursday is the third and final part of our Smart Building Bootcamp series, which will focus on operational efficiency and occupant experience. You can register on our website or by using the link I've posted in the chat window. That's it for today. Thanks again, everyone, for joining us.
Thanks, Nancy. Thanks, Rick.
Nancy.
Thank you.